It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're calling you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Friday morning. It is a feel-good Mets Baseball Friday!
Man, I'm worn out.
Already, at 6:01, you're worn out.
I got no sleep. Yeah, how could you sleep after that game?
No, you could not. I mean, I was looking at the clock. It was 11:15. It was 12. I think I fell asleep somewhere around 10 to 1 after this unbelievable baseball game. And Pete Alonso, for months, we have talked about, every Mets fan has talked about Pete Alonso coming up big. Maybe tonight will be the night. Maybe today will be the day. Maybe the postseason he will wake up. And he comes up with an opportunity to take the lead with also an opportunity to hit into a double play. And I'm sorry, but after him dropping that pop-up when he's up there in that situation, I did it. I texted my mom, who's a diehard Mets fan. I texted three other friends. You know that the season's going to end with a Pete Alonso double play. And he hits the opposite field home run for one of the most memorable moments we have had. That's two now. Two in a week that you're never going to forget in your lifetime as a Mets fan. They move on to Philadelphia. It really doesn't get more amazing than that. This 2024 team, at the very least, has given Mets fans moments that they will never forget.
I mean, the only way I can explain this is that there's a stat out there that I read this morning. I read it last night. I wanted to make sure that it's accurate, and I do believe that it is accurate. Pete Alonso of the Mets is the first player in MLB history to hit a go-ahead home run while trailing in the ninth inning or later of a winner-take-all postseason game. And that's the beauty of this home run compared to, like, Francisco Lindor's. Both unbelievable moments, both but different, because this is an elimination game. They were down. They weren't doing much. Jose Quintana was awesome. Jose Buto didn't have his stuff. Give Carlos Mendoza a lot of credit for yanking him when he did, because, you know, who knows where that goes if he doesn't get him out of there. We also got to give credit to Edwin Diaz for throwing a ball. You know, I think he had 39 pitches. And then there was a discussion after the home run. All right, what's he going to do? And I'm on the same text threads, maybe not as you, but the same type of text threads.
Sure, yeah.
So all of my text threads were saying, as Pete Alonso was approaching the plate, this is your moment. Please, this is your moment. Just do it. We all want you to do it. You've been stuck in neutral. Just please. You couldn't ask for a better opportunity. And then for him to come through, look, all of us Met fans, I think what makes this even better for us is that it was Pete Alonso, and that we were and have been and been praying that somehow, some way, he would have an impact with his bat at the biggest moment. And man, oh man, oh man, it doesn't get any bigger than that. It's never been done before. So Jose Quintana was great. Edwin Diaz did his job. Francisco Lindor was amazing. Getting the walk in the top of the ninth inning was great. Brandon Nimmo comes through with a hit. I don't know why I didn't try to steal second base, but that's a different story. That's a whole nother, forget that. And then, of course, Pete hits the home run. And then, you know, how about Jesse Winker? Jesse Winker does steal second, and Marte drives him in with an insurance run. And then, of all people, David Peterson throws seven pitches.
Yeah.
And it ends with a double play, all individually made by Francisco Lindor. So from this Met fan who's been around for a long time, and we've seen a lot of amazing things from 86 to 73 to 69. I mean, we've seen a lot of amazing moments. These two moments that have happened in the last week, and then watching all the folks that were at Citi Field react to it. So, you know, I didn't get out of bed. I mean, I just stood there. I was stunned.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was happy, but I was stunned. But I will say this, that I know exactly how every single one of us felt just by watching that reaction at Citi Field.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those truth is stranger than fiction things. I mean, this was a Disney movie. This was a 30 for 30. I mean, to just everything leading up to it, contract year, disappointing. He trips over his bat. He drops the foul pop-off. Everybody's laughing at him. You know, you're down to your final breath on a team that has always come back, but he's been the one guy who hasn't joined in on the party. And to hit a three-run homer to take the lead in that situation is special and as crazy as you could possibly imagine. And I know Jerry will play it. I mean, the Howie Rose call is as good as it gets. I mean, the guy is, of course, we know how special of a play-by-play guy he is. He's been doing it forever. But when he's screaming, "He did it! He did it!" So I put that out last night after the game. I said, "You got to listen to this no less than 500 times." And there's been, you talk about all the amazing moments, and you could look at it, you know, you add these two on top of history of a lot of good moments, but yeah, how many of those have ended in disappointment, too, at the ends of games where you're thinking, all right, they're not going to get it done. It was fun. It was a special season. You know, it's positive, whatever. If he hits it to a double play, which I think it's going to happen, all right, you go to bed. You come in here this morning and say, good for them, pat on the back. This 2024 team is not that team. That nothing that has gone on in the past with the New York Mets applies to this group outside of maybe some of their more special teams that have gone on to win World Series. That's where we're at right now. I mean, that's where we're at. Like, I said this was a great season regardless of the outcome. This team is so special that I believe now that they're capable of anything. After last night, they're capable of anything.
Well, look, I don't ever want to throw any cold water on this anything. I mean, the Phillies are going to present problems, but the Mets have played them well this season.
We know that.
They've been
yes.
tight. They got good starting pitching. You know, the interesting thing is watching Pat Murphy do what he did last night. I mean, his pitcher basically threw 66 or 68 pitches. 44 of them were for strikes, and he took them out after five. Now, I know this is what they do. This is who they are. He didn't want to face Lindor again at the top of that sixth inning.
Bottom line is they had their stud closer on the mound in the ninth inning with a two-run lead.
We know that feeling.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But if you're a Met fan, you know that feeling. This feeling that we have this morning, we had it last week earlier this week with the doubleheader down in Atlanta in game one, but we did have the backstop of game one. There was no backstop here. This was it. This was a moment where as soon as Lindor got on, this is when I kind of felt great. And then Nimmo had that nice, solid hit. Lindor goes to third. I got to give my nephew Randy a lot of credit because, you know, we're on all these text messages. And I just put out there to that group, I said, man, now if there was ever a time that Pete has a moment, this has got to be it. And he sent me back three apples. He sent to the thread three apples. He's going three apples right here.
Yep.
And, like, but again, you know what that is? That is a die-hard Met fan like you. I don't know if he's as big a Met fan as you, but a die-hard Met fan. No, he is. But he is a huge Met fan. Mr. and Mrs. Met at his wedding, the whole crazy nonsense about the whole thing. And he embodies the spirit of the Met fan that is praying that Pete Alonso can come through. Like, he never wants to give up on his favorite player is and he's younger than me. I mean, and even I felt it last night. I was hoping beyond hope that somehow Pete would come through. And I mean, like you talk, and Pete was talking about it after the game in the post game interview. It was about like, this is what you grow up wishing that would happen for you.
Yeah, I mean, and it made it even more special with his struggles. I mean, sometimes you can't reach the greatest moments without going through something negative because that's what fuels you, and you can look back and say, man, like all of it was worth it for a moment like this. And, you know, Francisco Lindor, you can't say enough about him at this point. He was the only guy doing anything offensively for 95% of this game, and he gets on. And when you get that first guy on, especially when you get some of these closers, these good closers just going downhill, and you get that first out, and then bang, they get the confidence. You get that first guy on, like Lindor got on.
I felt like sixth, seventh, and eighth were just like that.
Right.
Those guys were throwing heat, and guys were off balance.
But Lindor gets on, just changes the feel. Now you're talking about tying run at the plate, and
he battled his ass off to get on because, that Williams has got, like they were talking last night, he's got that unbelievable changeup, right? But I'm like, you know what? That's a changeup. That's going like in the 80s. I'd rather have him up there than some guy throwing 100.
Well, he still's got some velocity. But yeah, Francisco Lindor fouling off all the pitches. And I can't, like, The other thing, there's just so much credit to go around. We understand, but you know, David Peterson to come out of the bullpen in that situation too. Like, you got to have some real mental fortitude and balls to do that.
But when he had a great season. But of all the guys, though, no, he did a little bit last year, but maybe not as a closer, not in this big spot.
I mean, exactly. But, you know, what do you mean? He's never been closing out a playoff game on the road with a 2-run lead like that.
I think you said it just about 5 minutes ago. You said this team can possibly, you know, pretty much do anything. That Monday and this and last night, I mean, like, that just is special stuff. And you said it. So, therefore, everybody wants to do or participate in it. And they want to pick up their teammates, too, especially when their teammates let them down. So, you know, Edwin Diaz let the team down, and Francisco Lindor came back, lifted the team up. Edwin Diaz told Carlos Mendoza, look, I'm staying out here. I want to pitch through this. I want to get this done. I'm going to get this S done. He got it done on Monday, and then... Unfortunately, like Jose Buda, when he came in, didn't we all think, okay, this is good?
No, our guy. Yeah, of course.
We got our guy in there. He's going to be fine. And all of a sudden, two bombs later, like, okay, let's yank him out of there.
To a couple scrubs, too.
Well, whatever, but let's yank him out of there. And those guys had their moments. And let's bring in Edwin Diaz. And I was just, don't walk nine guys and let's just get through it. And 39 pitches later, he kept the team in the game. And so I want to give him credit because I've been on him like you, like most of us are. But
well, and it's not over yet. I mean, we're still going to be, we're still going to be on him. He's still going to give us a lot of frustration and agita. But you know, Carlos Mendoza, as we talked about pushing a lot of the right buttons, he felt like we have to stop the bleeding right here. And the best guy that I can bring in right now, in his opinion, was Edwin Diaz. And even though it was up and down and not really a dominant performance, he did get the job done, and it did end up working out. So, I mean, Mendoza after the game with the champagne and just talking about this team again, it's really remarkable. I can't remember in any of the teams that I have rooted for in my entire life being this surprised and this shocked by results than with this group. I mean, this is not recency bias. I remember 2015, obviously. The football seasons I've gone through and seen, basketball, I there's never been a team that has shocked me as much as this team, time and time again in a positive way. They were dead. They were done. They had a stupid team meeting. We were making fun of it.
They had two team meetings.
Yeah, right. And they had the one after the Lindor back thing. Like, but back when they were 11 games under 500, it's like, oh, team meeting. Like, oh, boo, stupid team meeting. No. And you look back on that, that might have been the greatest thing that ever happened to them.
It's either that or the Grimace.
Yeah, right. Grimace and Hoctua.
Yeah, I mean, this
the Gay Mets, the now Gay the Mets, Pumpkin.
Yeah. OMG. We get the playoff Pumpkin now. Yeah, so that Pete went out and picked it himself.
Right, OMG.
Did he go out into like the Wisconsin farmland and go pick a pumpkin?
He must have, because you
is
know,
that what he does? Like, remember what we were talking about, Eli Manning always going out with Olivia Manning, his mom?
Mm-hmm.
And he would go antiquing. Wasn't that a thing with
yes.
him?
Mm-hmm.
So now Pete's out there going to farm country in Wisconsin picking pumpkins?
There is not a wife on the planet, wife-mother combination on the planet, that doesn't just gravitate towards that type of thing this time of year. You know, when like
yeah, I know, but why is he doing it?
Well, because he has to, because he's being forced to do it, just like every other man is forced to do it.
Wait. Toxic masculinity right there.
But you know how, like,
you need to be more understanding about why you go pumpkin picking.
You got
to
do it for your family. But you know how, like, the little baby turtles are born and their first instinct is to, like, you know, go through the sand to the ocean?
Yes.
That's what happens to, like, these 30-year-old mom wives. You know, they're just, like, instinctually, they just pop out of a hole and go to some sort of farm to get a pumpkin and take a picture next to a scarecrow.
All right, well, we got the playoff pumpkin now. I mean, it's the Mets, so we got to have something.
Yeah.
And it's okay, and we had a moment that nobody has ever experienced before in Major League Baseball. So I was saying to the guys and gals out there in the bullpen, I said, we get to talk about something that's never ever happened before.
There's gals in the bullpen?
Well, I saw Amy out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Usually I don't see a gal out there.
Well, I saw, Allie, our makeup girl.
Yeah, but you don't talk sports with her.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
There's no sports talk with her.
No, that's not just
boring stuff.
No. Pumpkin picking. I'm sure she's going to be pumpkin.
She is on Saturday, actually. That's what she talked about. Yes, they're going to.
She is going pumpkin picking.
I swear to God, yes, that's exactly what she's doing. I told you, that's what they do.
Is she going North Fork or South Fork?
Hopefully North Fork.
I mean, there's a great pumpkin one out there just on Montauk Highway, right in Southampton. Right as you make the turn there, and you know the Audi dealer and
Hobbs Farms. Is that the one you're talking about?
It's a big one. It's got all sorts of like
water drinker
playground stuff and everything.
Yeah, she's going to water drinker. That's what
water
she's,
drinker. She's what going to water. Where drinker. Is that?
I don't know. I want to say Manorville or something. I'm not sure.
All right, Manorville. But anyway, now we got a playoff pumpkin.
Yeah. And you know, I mentioned when OMG first started that when the Mets have a theme song,
yes,
generally good things happen. You know, so, and I brought up the examples of, you know, 1999, it was Mojo Rising with Robin Ventura. They got to the NLCS. 2000, it was Who Let the Dogs Out. They made it to the World Series. Now they've got you had the trumpet thing in 2022. That was a theme song for them. And it kind of flamed out there, but it did make the playoffs.
The trumpet thing for him.
What's that?
It's weird.
Yeah, I know, because the batter.
Because when he's facing Edwin Diaz, he's coming up with Edwin Diaz's music.
I know, it's got to fire him up.
Let's Go Mets Go in 86.
Let's Go Mets Go in 1986, absolutely. Seeing
The Amazons in 69.
Was that would that song fuel them throughout the season?
I don't know. I mean, like, who knows? I can't remember.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
I'm just.
When they get a theme song, the special things happen. And here you go. You got another theme song.
This was more than special last night. This is legendary stuff. This is legacy stuff.
Legacy
Man,
spots.
If you could do this like in a game 7 in a World Series.
You're getting greedy now. Stop getting greedy.
I'm just saying that's what would top this.
Yeah, I mean it was that amazing. Yep.
There's not very many things that would top what just happened last night.
You're right.
In baseball.
I mean, and we were saying, you know what's crazy about it? We were saying the same thing on Monday. The way that they came back, we said in 1 week.
But that was a doubleheader. They had the second game. You said that whoever won the first game,
I agree.
Lose the second game,
you're right.
This one here,
this was bigger.
This is huge. Right. This is like something that's never happened before, and our team
did it. Yes, that's right, and that is not lost on a fan base that has gone through it.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is a feel-good Mets baseball Friday. We don't want Yankee fans to feel left out. We're giving away 2 pair of Yankees playoff tickets this morning. This is how it works. We're going to play you a John Sterling drop this hour, and the next time you hear it, next hour will be your cue to call. 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. So you're not calling now. You'll call next hour when you hear this drop again.
Yoannis.
Which is fitting for today because the last time the Mets went on a magical run like this, Yoannis was
born. Yoannis.
So Yoannis is what you will hear next hour. And then you call 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. 9326, you have to be caller 7, and then you will win those Yankees playoff tickets, and we'll do it again in the 8 and 9 a.m. hours. So I just saw on Instagram, the Mets official Instagram, the team playing home. They were playing Howie Rose's call over the system, you know, the intercom system there on the plane, and they had the camera on Howie as he was sitting in his chair, and then he got up and went and hugged Pete Alonso. It was like, I mean, come on. All these moments are amazing. It takes a lot for me to get excited or get chills over something these days, and that was another one. Watching that, just watching Howie like listen to his call, be humble about it, and then go and find Pete on the plane and give him a hug. I mean, it's just an amazing moment.
That wasn't the only plane that was cheering. The New York Jets charter was flying over the North Atlantic. And when Pete hit the home run, everybody on that plane started cheering as well.
That's cool. Nice.
So, you know, listen, maybe the Jets and the Giants can get a little oomph from what they've seen here last night.
Yep.
I don't know. You're wearing your Minnesota Viking London outfit today.
Yes, which was what I told you when you were so kind to give me this from Unreal. I said I'm going to wear this the Friday before the London game. So, yeah, it's awesome. So there you go.
I wish.
All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So I'm going to give you a setup and then some reaction after we get through everything. I mean, we got a great fan base. We do. We got a lot of people that listen to the post-game podcast, and if they listened yesterday, they heard. I don't want you to think. I'm just going to ask you, yes or no. Mets win tonight?
Yes.
Ooh, wow, very decisive.
Close. 3-2 Mets. Pete Alonso, home run late. 3-2.
That would be something.
That would be awesome, Jerry. We'll replay this bad boy.
Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
That's pretty good.
That's right. I'm a baseball expert, and if you have any questions about the game, I'll be ready to answer them. That's what I do.
Good for you, Al.
Yeah, that was awesome. Well, they did. They ruined it because Winker got hit, and then Marte drove him in, so they tacked on a run to make it 4-2, not 3-2, with the Mets to win as David Peterson closed it out. Big double play with the assist of Francisco Lindor, and the Mets take the series in three. Here was Alonso on ESPN, so what's going through your mind in that ninth inning at bat?
No, I was just looking out over the middle of the plate, just looking to hit something hard forward. I mean, man, this is something that you practice in the backyard as a kid. I'm just happy to come through for the boys. I mean,
he did come through for the boys in a big, big way. And if not for Lindor, by the way, maybe it wouldn't have happened. He started with the walk to kick off the inning, and that was at a time where the Mets still only had two hits as a team, both by him. So he gets on base. So what were you thinking when you went to the plate?
Don't try to do much. Get a good pitch and hit it. And if I don't get a good pitch, take my walk and let Vientos, Nimmo, Pete, Iglesias do what they do best.
And that was get the home run. Now, Vientos struck out, looked like he was overmatched, but then Nimmo gets the base hit. And then Alonso, the home run. Nimmo was asked, have you kind of realized what this week has been like for you guys?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll take time to wrap that around, and we're not going to get that. But I just, with what's transpired this season, it seems only fitting.
Only fitting.
You know, it's kind of amazing. Like 2015, Daniel Murphy had his moments.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were huge.
The guy was unconscious.
Right.
Every time he went up there, he hit a home run.
In Chicago was ridiculous.
I mean, they swept them away like they squashed them like a lantern fly.
Yes. But I'm just like, so now you have Lindor, who's been amazing, right? And on top of that, Pete Alonso does something that's never been done before.
Pretty good.
Oh, it's better than pretty good, Jerry.
It's pretty good.
He said it's better than pretty good, Jerry.
I mean, they won a wild card series. Yes.
Oh, now we're downplaying it?
Well, they didn't win the World Series. I think it was amazing what they did.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're on the same page as everybody else.
I mean, this doesn't, go beyond what the 69 Mets and the 86 Mets did. Not yet.
You can't do that until you do what they did last night.
Well, and that was very cool. That you, as the great Boomer Esiason said about 13 minutes ago, the Phillies are pretty good, too, and so are the Dodgers.
They are.
And so
are
the Padres. So,
yeah. All four teams left are all really good teams, and it's not easy. It's, it's not going to be like a cakewalk like the Yankees have. Could they just mail this whole thing in or what? This is why I knew the Yankees were going to the World Series.
Yep.
I'm not a Yankee fan, so I'm not touching the money, so don't worry about it.
Right. I understand.
Flowers again. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
In the World Series, yeah.
Here was Devin Williams. He's the pitcher that gave up the home run to Alonso. His thoughts?
I mean, it could have been better, but it wasn't the worst pitch I've ever thrown. I wanted to go away with it. I got it there. Good piece of hitting.
Sounds like Phil Maton.
Yes, very much so. And then here was their manager, Pat Murphy, while New York celebrates. This is just brutal for us.
It felt like a tragedy. And, I feel sad for our guys because they competed like they did. And it was, but it's baseball. When you're facing a team with those type of guys, that's what they're capable of.
And so now,
and I know we don't care around here, and trust me, I'm over it already, but what a brutal loss for the Brewers. Yeah. I mean, especially with their history of not winning playoff series, that's as bad as it gets. And I don't know if you heard the Bob Uecker call, but
next hour.
My God.
I got it.
I mean, I felt for him.
Yeah.
But, hey, listen, your pain is our gain. Tough. We've been on the other end of that many times, but that's as bad as it gets in sports. Like, what a choke job.
I will have the Milwaukee side of things next hour.
Yeah.
I told you some post-game reaction, so I went and found the Rico Bronya podcast that Evan recorded right after this thing, and he, again.
From California Cryobank?
Well, prior to going there, he was in his living room doing that. He looked like he had been through the mill again. Here was Evan admitting, like, he cried. Like, it was emotional for him.
And I'm going to try not to get too emotional, because I got to tell you, when he hit that ball against Devin Williams, like, a tear popped down my eye. I'm a crier. I'll be the first to tell you. As that ball nestled over the right field fence,
nestled?
I started shaking.
Yeah, so, I mean, he does not
know. There was nothing nestling about that. That's not a nestle spot.
Yeah, it's not. There's nothing nestling about that home run. I mean, that was just smoked. And also, he has a tough time describing tears and crying. He said, "I'm getting moist." That was his.
I know.
Talking about his eyes.
He was soaking wet last night.
You know, when I think about.
He said a tear popped down my eye.
That is what he said.
And I'm going to try not to get too emotional, because I got to tell you, when he hit that ball against Devin Williams, like, a tear popped down my eye.
A tear popped down my eye.
And by the way, nestling and caressing go together.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing.
There was nothing nestling or caressing about that moment.
Yeah, his word choice is very odd. But, hey, I felt good for him.
Yes, very much so. Mets and Phillies, games 1 and 2 in Philadelphia Saturday and Sunday. And then game 3 will be Citi Field on Tuesday night. The Yankees indeed continue to wait. They haven't played in a long time. They play the Royals on Saturday night, tomorrow night, at the stadium.
And I hope they're not stale.
I wouldn't be shocked if they were a little flat to start. They haven't played in forever.
I mean, they're practicing, right?
They've had workouts, yeah. I saw Garrett Cole give up a monster home run to Ben Rice the other day.
Ben Rice had a home run.
He did, yeah, with the empty stadium. It was like shades of the pandemic. But anyway, Garrett Cole will start game 1 against Michael Wacha, and the Reds reportedly hiring Terry Francona as their new manager. Yes. All right, to the NFL Thursday Night Football. Falcons, Bucks, hell of a game. Atlanta gets a field goal down the stretch to tie, then in overtime.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught to Darryl Hodge. 35-30.
Take it, baby.
20, 15, 10, 5, drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarryl. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarryl Hodge and the Falcons.
About to say, are you S-ing me?
Kirk Cousins was unbelievable last night, because when the Met game was over, this game had just started in the third quarter. And watching this game, there was no defense in this game. No tackling. Guys were going up and down the field. I mean, it was amazing. And Kirk Cousins, 509 yards. That's your boy, 42 of 58.
Career high, man.
He looked great last night.
Yeah. Good for him, man.
I think they're pretty happy they gave him the money.
Sure.
Raheem Morris said that each and every week he's gotten better and better and better and more comfortable with his ankle and his Achilles and everything else, and then, of course, his new teammates.
I think they should trade Michael Penix Jr. to the Giants now. Just let Kirk do his thing for a couple years, you know?
I thought the Giants were going to trade for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, him too, actually. Yeah, you know what? Never mind. Scratch that. J.J. McCarthy has to go to the Giants. You're right, Jerry. Thank you.
Falcons and Bucks both 3-2 on the season. 36-30, the final score there. The Jets do play the Vikings in London on Sunday.
I think they just landed there.
Yes.
I think.
Well, yeah, if they were...
They left yesterday. I think they were either scheduled between 7 and 8 o'clock to land.
So soon. And the Giants are in Seattle in a game that we don't have to watch now, because the Mets will be playing at 4 o'clock.
We're watching. Anthony. Come on, Jerry.
No, I watched the Met game on Sunday. I mean, that might be one I watch.
Jerry, wait, time out. Wait. Compass Media Networks is expecting us to do a professional job. And by the way, we do have another announcement in regards to the broadcast team that will be doing the Philadelphia Eagles great. At Giant game on October 20th.
And this radio station pays us to keep up to date on stuff, too. So I will watch the Met game on
Sunday.
We'll
watch both.
And I will go back and watch the Giant game somewhere throughout the course of the week.
We will watch both.
Good for you. I will not watch the Giant game Sunday.
You want to know the exciting announcement?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Greg Giannotti, sideline reporter for Compass Media Networks.
That's right.
It is. You talk about the A-team, Jerry, Boomer, Phil, and Gio.
That's a pretty good day.
That is. Yep. That doesn't get much better than that.
Yep. So I got that confirmed yesterday. Mr. Rob Blum of Compass Media Networks, and he will never assemble a greater broadcast team unless Pat Summerall and John Madden get resurrected and come back to life, because this is as good as it gets for them.
This is an all-star package.
I can't wait to get those sideline reporter chops back. I'm going to run around and ask Brian Daboll questions like TMZ, right in his face. Get Nick Sirianni all lathered up during the middle of the game. Just tap him on the shoulder.
Nick Sirianni?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do. You could be like ESPN and interrupt the game and get an interview going.
Yeah, maybe. If you'd like that. You tell me what you want.
Greg Giannotti standing by.
I'm surprised ESPN didn't go into the dugout to find Pete Alonso like right after he hit the home run right in the middle of the inning.
I'm going to go fight Big Dom on the sideline. Talk about that. That'll be fun. No, I'm excited, of course. We're going to do a professional job. And,
100%.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so the Giants will play in Seattle Sunday afternoon. I'll have sound from Carl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo throughout the course of the morning. And at 1 o'clock today, the Devils and Sabres open up the NHL season in Prague.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on this feel-good Mets baseball Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I mentioned before that when the Mets have a theme song, generally good things happen during that season. Gave you a couple examples, but we left this one out, the Curly Shuffle. So add OMG to that list.
I mean, when you listen to OMG and you compare it to this crap.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is ugh.
Brutal, yeah.
I mean, it is. This is like my most embarrassing time as a Met fan was this song.
Yeah, I mean, I always had good memories of Who Let the Dogs Out, because that team, I went to so many games that year, and that team was great in 2000. Obviously, it ended losing to the Yankees, but that song sucked. I mean, that song was horrible, but you just had good memories of it. Mojo Rising
was awesome.
That was great.
That
99.
Was great, yes.
But OMG, the fact that it's a current Mets player, there's a Pitbull remix coming out. They gave you a little snippet yesterday. It'll be coming out on October 11th.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's,
you know what,
song,
they should be dropping it today.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you got? What are you guys doing? Hey, Pit, let's go. Drop it today.
Hey, Pit, drop it today.
You should be dropping it today. This is so mid that we got to wait for it.
Oh, Jesus. I mentioned it at the time.
Yeah.
That OMG was the best song I'd ever heard an athlete make. Because there have been a lot of them out there. You know, Shaq put out an album. Damian Lillard's been a rapper. There's been Charlie Morton plays the guitar and sings. There's a lot of guys out there who've tried it.
Justin Tucker.
Opera singer, yes. But he's very talented at that. But this song is just amazing. I mean, it sounds like anything you would listen to on the radio. It's so well done. It's great. And you want to talk about impact on a baseball team all the way around. I mean, Iglesias mania, man.
How about last night when Pete hit the home run? Every single one of us said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they have the oh, my God little sign there in the dugout that they
oh, my God.
And they take a picture. We all said the same thing. And that's why it is so fitting for this team, especially after what happened on Monday and then what happened last night. This is like the greatest feel-good Friday I think we've ever had.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, you don't want to always throw those things out there because there's been, you know, as we mentioned, the recency bias and things, but I don't think you can dispute it. I mean, it's there could be bigger ones. There could be bigger and better ones coming up. But
I know we had the Super Bowl run. I think we had the Super Bowl run for the Giants. Those were great Fridays going into those playoff games.
Yeah. Yep. That was 2007, your first year. You know, into 2000, early 2008, certainly. So, but
we didn't call it Feel Good Friday.
You did not. That was a long time ago. I was producing Joe and Evan. I wasn't sitting here. But yes, as far as the Boomer and Geo program goes, yes.
It was all had to do with, I feel like all had to do with Casamigos, the boat party.
Feel Good Friday, yeah.
But mm-hmm. was it
It was a Friday, August 13th was the Feel Good Friday. Feel Good Friday, Casamigos boat party. Damn yeah. right.
Damn straight.
Damn straight.
And now we got ourselves another one.
Yeah.
I mean, like a really good Feel Good Friday. Like, you want breakfast? That kind of Friday.
Yeah. I mean, you paid for it. I don't have cash. I could give Izzo a Venmo or something, or he could take my card. I can get it today. You've been buying breakfast a lot lately. And you made a comment about that the other day, too. So it means that that's in your head now. So
I made a comment about
it. Oh, you did? Yeah.
What did I say?
He's like, the amount of times I've been buying you guys breakfast, I mean, you could at least do something for me, something like that. I was like, okay.
You got me flowers.
Yeah, I did.
I appreciate the flowers.
By the way, open City Field back up. Let's go.
That's right.
Let's wash those seats off. Pat LaFrieda, get those burgers on the grill. Let's go. And by the way, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to Game 3, which is home game one for City Field, the Mets. Phillies to give away on Monday's show. So we got two pair for, I guess they're both for tomorrow. Is that correct? The Yankee games or no?
I think yesterday's were for tomorrow. Today's are for Monday.
For Monday,
game
okay.
Game two, yeah. For instance, right. It's up in the...
Got it, for game two. I got it, yes. So today's will be for game two. So we got Yankee tickets to give away 7 and 9 a.m. hour. And on Monday, we'll be giving away Mets Phillies game 3 tickets. So keep it right here for all your Mets and Yankees reaction as we roll through this October. That is it's going to be amazing. I mean, next week is going to be awesome. This weekend is going to be awesome.
Just need the Jets and Giants to do something to get a bounce from this. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't want these two teams to finish their season whenever they do, meaning the Mets and Yankees, and then wake up the next day and be like, okay, now we got nothing. Because both these teams stink. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think the Jets are going to be relevant for a long time this season. But, you know, winning this weekend would go a long way for them. Let's go to Dennis in Farmingdale. What's going on, Dennis?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Good
Feel
morning.
Feel good. That's Friday, baby.
Yeah!
Feel good. Woo-hoo! You know, I called you guys on that day after that Dodgers debacle. I was at the game, and I was all pissed off, and it was just a horrible game. I said to you guys, you know, just trade everybody who's not on the contract and everything along those lines. But it just shows you the baseball season, how long it is and how it can change, but how it has to age and come to the point that it's at now. It's just unbelievable, right?
Yeah, especially with the way that they've won these two biggest games in the season against the Braves and against the Brewers last night. You know who else is saying this? The Detroit Tigers are saying the same thing because they had a September to remember. And who would have ever thought that the Tigers were going to show up in the playoffs and not only show up, sweep the Astros?
Yeah, I mean, and so much can happen throughout the season. And the Mets have been on, you know, other than the Kodai Senga injury, you know, they dodged a bullet with Lindor. Obviously his back isn't 100%, but it's not like you missed him and he's not playing. Last night he was, you know, just the only guy doing anything for 8 innings, and they've stayed relatively healthy, and they've had these incredible moments, and you just feel like it's not over for them, because what they've given us this week, what else are they capable of? I'll tell you right now, they're not walking into Philadelphia and being intimidated. It's a first playoff series between the Mets and the Phillies, too, which
that's
is just
amazing.
Awesome.
That is amazing.
It is so awesome, the fact that we get to see that. And I told you I wanted a piece of that Mets-Phillies series, and we got it. But this Mets team is going to walk in there, and it's going to be intense atmosphere. We know how special it is there at Citizens Bank Park during the playoffs.
Special.
It is.
There's nothing special about that place.
Listen, I hate Philadelphia as much as anybody. I can't stand the teams there. Yeah. I used to have a PHUCK Phillies shirt that
it's all about Foo Philly.
Right, exactly.
Here's the thing. I have such bad memories there.
Yeah, yeah, but
I mean, good memories, but a bad memory that is attached to a great memory.
But I'll give them credit that that place is intense in the playoffs. The fans show up there, they go crazy. And it's a great atmosphere, but the Mets are going to walk in there and be like,
you know,
don't care about this.
You know what my memory there is?
Oh, that long interception situation?
No, that happened over here.
Over here, okay.
I mean, no, that's not.
What's your
my great memory is it's the Mike Rupp game. It's the Winter Classic between the Flyers and the Rangers.
Oh, okay.
And we won that game with Mike Rupp scoring two goals, and we came out of that place, and my daughter, who's like 16, 15 or whatever, getting catcalls from like Skivots. You know, and I had my whole hockey team there on a bus coming back home. Two guys fighting who are brothers in the back of the bus the whole way home. I mean, legitimately fighting.
It was
like a UFC cage match at the back of the bus.
Yeah, they're de-evolving there in Philadelphia.
These were guys that were my friends on the bus that I had chartered.
Okay. All right, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports.
My poor daughter has still got PTSD from that day.
Yeah, that's a long time ago now.
Brothers? Yeah, why are they trying to kill each other?
Yeah. All right.
One's crazier than the other. I don't know.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.